Next hour, we begin open lines here on Coast to Coast AM, but this hour, we'll take your phone calls, questions for Guilda Wiyoka, or stories related to people being whacked out. Next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We are with Guilda Wiyoka, and we're talking about her work, of course. So we're still here. Now what? And her website, of course, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we're going to take your calls in just a second here as we talk about psychic awareness, people acting strange, whacked out. Guilda, when did you start realizing that people were being affected this way?
Well, it's kind of slowly come to me over the years, but I've been working, studying shamanism for over 40 years and working as a practitioner for 30. And that's kind of what gave me my first clue, is starting to see the difference, because I work so closely with people. And I also, you know, teach the shamanic arts. I have a state-certified trade school of the shamanic arts here in Colorado. And so I'm exposed to people, and I'm exposed to very sensitive people all the time. And I started noticing the difference in them. I say 15 years ago, but it has just absolutely snowballed from 2011 through now.
It's happening fast, isn't it?
It really is, and it's gaining speed, I think.
Can it be stopped? Should it be stopped?
I think it's bigger than the both of us, and no, I really kind of rejoice. I mean, it's really hard to watch everything fall apart in certain regards, but it's that, you know, goddess of destruction thing. Sometimes things have to be destroyed so they can be broken down to their constituent parts to be reconfigured into something that's a little more user-friendly. And just like the sand in the plate, if you change the tone, it's going to go into chaos for a while. And that's what we're seeing. But I think it's a time to really rejoice, because it's a time of human freedom, of human rights, of humans' direct access to spiritual information and to their own intuition and ability to guide their own lives and create their own reality. So I think it's kind of worth the birth pains.
You talked about genetically modified foods, chemicals, pollutants affecting us. So how important then is this mind-body connection?
It's extremely important, because when we talked about the toroidal field, that's our auric field, that's our basic protection and our way of interacting with the planet and all the power to be found there and the balance, it's generated off of all four of our levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And any place we have a restriction or programming or chemicals or something artificial, it starts to impinge the movement of the toroidal field. That starts to impinge our overall frequency. There's a frequency below which we can't maintain physical health. We can't maintain physicality. And that's what we're seeing a lot of. Just go into Walmart if you want to see the effects of it. People are just kind of dumbed down and miserable. And that's because there's so many impingements that it even dulls our thinking, it dulls our physical functioning. And pretty soon, all we're trying to do is stay alive, much less talk about evolving.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's start with Brendan in Erie, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Question or story? Go ahead, Brendan. Thanks for calling.
Oh, actually, I had a question. I was curious if she's actually met any of the major tribe shamans in, like, say, the Seneca. I've asked questions around a few people that I know that are in the Seneca tribe, but they really don't even have any clue themselves. It's kind of a hush-hush thing, if any at all.
Yes, Brendan. I've studied under a lot of different indigenous tribes here locally, and then I also have training in Celtic and Tibetan shamanism. I've studied with Navajo, Choctaw, Arapaho, Lakota, quite a few others. But what we see in the tribes is, just like in our culture, we tend to think of the spiritual practices or the religious practices of the tribe to be the shamanic practices, and they are not. The shamanic people are few, far between. They are passed down a genetic line, and our white culture tried to absolutely eradicate them. Like I said, until the 80s, they weren't even allowed to practice their religion, much less shamanism. And so it is hush-hush, and it is covered up. And I'm very, very careful within my school not to appropriate Native ceremonies. That's their sacred ceremonies. We use the principles and the methods that are common to all shamanic practices to build a practice.
How about the Hopis?
Same thing. The Hopis are amazing, though. I really love, like the Kachinas. There's a lot of indication that the Kachinas were actually channeling star beings, and that's the whole point of the Kachina dances. The Hopi believe that the star beings come directly in, and they are surrogated by one of the Kachinas to bring the enlightenment energy or frequency to the planet, to the people, during the times when we couldn't accommodate their direct access to us.
Any particular Native American in this sect that may be a little more tuned in to this than the other?
You know, I really don't think so. I think it's just like us. Everybody according to their gifts, everybody according to their limitations. I think each tribe has amazing medicine men that have saved, at great expense to themselves, have saved the traditions enough that we have re-access to them now during the time that we need to reactivate this beautiful practice.
Well, I think so, too. And by the way, Skype is open at George97313. George97313. How did you get interested in all this?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Survival.
Who else am I talking to?
Well, you said something about George. Yeah,
I've got a whole room of people in my cave, right? No, you. Of course you.
Well, how I got interested in it was survival. When I was born, I was one of the more sensitive types anyway. And then my childhood was very, very, I lived in around a bunch of volatile people. And my continuance depended on my knowing who was going to pop off next and give them wide berth. And so I really developed my ability to sense the emotions of the people around me in order to stay safe. But because I developed it and honed it so sharply to stay alive, I put it on default. And by the time I was in my 20s, my adrenals were fried. I wasn't digesting. I was really failing rapidly because I was feeling everybody's everything, and I didn't know how to field it. So that's what started my studies and saved my life, quite frankly.
Next up, we go to Monica, first-time caller in Artesia, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Monica.
Hi, George. My goodness, I can't believe I'm actually speaking to you. What a wonderful night. I have always tried, and you was never successful. But tonight, you were listening. I told myself, and into the phone, in the air, answer the phone, George. And sure enough, you did. Well, you didn't, but you are now.
Yes, we did.
Anyway, my question is, since I was a little girl as well, have had visions just pop into my mind. And over the years, I have learned to recognize the feelings that go along with those that actually happen. And recently, I've been having not very good visions, but they're consistent and they're the same, and I can't get them to go away. I don't know if I can listen to that anymore or if I'm just too involved in the situation, and I'm second-guessing myself, and I am just a mess. But that's my question. Can you tell me, should I be listening to myself or not?
Well, Monica, to answer that, I have to give you a little background on what goes on when we start having visions.
Yes.
What people oftentimes take visions literally because they're seeing something going on in this and that, and sometimes they are literal events that we're picking up. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is our imagination is being used as a screen to paint a metaphor that represents what's about to happen at the quantum level or at the subatomic scales. In other words, that's where before matter becomes solid and set in stone, it starts to take a matrix form there. What we can do with that information is to shift how we are approaching life so that we're out of the line of fire of whatever we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. But we have to be very careful not to drop into fear around it. Just simply take the adjustments that we need to take in order to not be sitting there when the bomb hits, if you will.
Yeah, right. Well, I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time too many times. And as you were saying, for survival, I've learned and adapted that. But I agree that everybody has this within them. And it's a matter of paying attention and recognizing the feelings, the sensations that you get when what you think or feel actually happens.
Yeah, and the key here is what's difficult is we've all had traumatic events. And that creates a spiritual illness known as soul loss. In other words, we disconnect from some part of our natural expression. And then we start to superimpose the events of our past onto our present and make a rerun out of the future. And we call those triggers. In other words, something similar to the event makes us feel like the event's about to happen again. That's a trigger versus precognition.
Okay, so, are you reading me now?
No, ma'am, I didn't have your permission, so of course I don't.
You have my permission.
Okay, so what happens when we have these triggers is it makes it very difficult for us to tell the difference between precognition and events of the past stirring up old feelings. And the key there is, again, processing out the old damage, and that clarifies when you're getting information that's clear and present.
Okay, well, very good. That was right on target.
Okay, Monica, thanks. Right. I'm glad
thank you, George, and God bless everybody, and you all have a wonderful old 4th of July, new 5th of July, and forevermore.
You got that right. What's left of it, at least? Let's go to Mike, Orange County, California. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, hi, how are you doing?
Good, Mike.
She's very well spoken, this lady.
She sure is.
I can't pronounce her name. I would.
Hey, you and I, we're in the same boat.
So, hey, what I wanted to talk about was, like, a lot of stuff. Like, what I noticed is the sun, all right? I can be in sync with the sun, and I notice when the sun is going to have one of those eruptions. It's just something, I don't know, I can go on my phone and tap in, you know, NASA, and I can see when it's having eruptions. You know, after I already know it's coming. And I have this thing where I can see orbs around trees, and the birds like me. So I can start doing, like, just like this little bird noise, and all the birds will start hanging out around me. It's a trip. And, you know, the planet, you can totally feel the planet. Like, you can get your feet, you know, I don't know. I've become ultra conscious, I guess. And I can tell you things that are going to happen before they happen. Now, what would you describe this as?
Well, Mike, it sounds to me like you're pretty tuned in. That's a perfect description of what it's like in the future that is possible for us as we process out our old belief systems and align with what is in the present moment, what's going on with the planet in the present moment. I feel earthquakes. I know I'll wake up in the middle of the night and know a big one's happened. I have the same experience as you do. And this is the way the ancient shaman used to read what's about to go on. So basically what you're doing is being the future of human beings. Congratulations.
I think that's an important gift, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it just, you know, for you to be able to pick up earthquakes, I mean, that's incredible. Can you ascertain, Gwilda, the size of the earthquake?
Well, if I'm woken up in the middle of the night when one's gone on, I can tell, like I woke up immediately when Japan got nailed. Woke up, I knew I had to go and look at the earthquake map on the computer because I knew there had been a big one somewhere. So, yeah, in that sense, I can. Another example is, remember when the Challenger blew up, the shuttle?
Yeah, sure.
I don't have TV. I'm not into being programmed, so I don't have TV. I didn't have any media on. And I was cooking. My children were small at the time. And all of a sudden, I blacked out. I felt this horror wash over me to the point that I lost my vision. I didn't completely go unconscious, but I was hanging under the sink for dear life, and I knew something horrific had happened, and it affected a lot of people. And so I turned on the news, and sure enough, right at that moment, the Challenger had blown up with all those school children watching.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies. We've got Mike in Montrose, Colorado. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey.
I'm like the other lady. I've tried to get through, and it must be the right time.
It's one of those
nights. Anyway, I'm like the lady. I grew up in the same situation where I had to be attuned to everything. And I grew up in Prescott in my younger years, and I was always around the Hopis. And I was in a Catholic school, and things just started happening. And when I went to Vietnam, I had a kid from high school say, my mom said, if you take my place, you won't die. But if I go, I'll die. And it happened. And I've had bullets stop. I mean, they just disappear. I've had tracers fired at me, you know, the rounds, and they just go straight up in the air. And I had the gift of healing like you wouldn't believe, but I abused it. And I believe that, you know, in the Christian part of it, but I think that the Indians are tapped into the same thing. And I'm not supposed to die. I know there's something I'm supposed to do, but the VA is screwing me up so bad. I'm dying now, and I'm starting to have dying, but I consider dying dreams, you know, it's just, they're beautiful, but I actually woke up the other night and said, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be dying right now. There's something I'm supposed to do, but how do I get my gifts back?
Oh, Mike, that's a tragic story. What's happened there is through our life, when we suffer traumas, each one of them takes a little bit of our natural expression away. And so it starts to drop our frequency. And then if you were in Vietnam, all the stuff you were exposed to over there, of course, has taken its toll on you physically, which compromises your frequency. But there's all sorts of different ways that you can treat without being invasive, by working with the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels to maximize the frequencies of any one of them, and all of them to the degree that you can, through diet, through deprogramming, through shamanic healing, through turning off a boob tube if it's not being creative for you. And like I said in my book, So We're Still Here Now, what I've given a lot of those suggestions for people so that they can start to empower themselves to move beyond the limitations that the system has put on them. I really feel that we can spontaneously heal ourselves. It's just a matter of dealing with the frequency compromises.
There was a case where a couple, of course, they've been convicted of homicide. Their little child died of diabetes, the onset of children's diabetes, and they refused to bring the child to a doctor, merely trying to pray for this illness to go away. I am a very big believer in prayer. However, I think you also have to include real science in that, and they should have at least gone to a doctor and did some things that they needed to do that way.
Absolutely. I'm so totally with you, George. And that's why I say you have to treat on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels in tandem. And that physical level absolutely includes medical science. Like I said, I work with doctors all the time. I interface. We refer people back and forth. And it's a matter of teamwork here. We can't just sit around and pray and hope something happens.
No, you've got to be ready. And I try to tell people as well, with whether their careers are, slated to go up or down, you have to be ready. If opportunity knocks, you can't just expect it to happen.
Exactly. And, you have to create it.
Yep, you sure do. There was an old saying, was just talking last night with a guest that, they kept praying to win the lottery. Well, you got to buy a ticket first.
I love it.
Let's go to Karen in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. First, let me say I love your show. I think it's the best show on the radio.
Thank you, Karen.
I listen to it all the time. It's a very interesting topic you're talking about tonight. You're saying that people are acting different and strange.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, actually, the guest, a two-part question. I seem to have some health problems that, don't go away no matter what I do. And also, one of my parents, my father, he seems to be acting really strange lately. And I'm just wondering, does that have something to do with the shifts of the planet or something, and anything I can do about that?
Yes, and yes. The rule we have in the shamanic arts is we never work without permission. And so I really believe that the only place that we really have power is A, in the moment, and B, with ourselves. So we can't change those around us, but we can change our relationship to how we react to those around us. And so that's the answer about the father issue. The answer about the health issue is, I think that, one thing that's gone on is we don't look at all four levels of what's happening. And I think that the individual has to take responsibility for doing that and for finding a good healthcare practitioner that can guide them to different modalities and at the same time make sure all the checks and balances are covered by your basic traditional allopathic medicine so that you're supported. There's a phrase I like to use, you can't shovel poop with a feather. So if our frequency is so compromised that we're showing physical illness, you can't fix it at a spiritual level. You can lessen the impact of the compromises by doing the best you can with the frequency at the spiritual level, but you also have to deal with the mental, emotional, and physical level to affect a true change.
We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to finish up with the call and also take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour, open lines begin here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to come back in a moment, though, and take some final phone calls with Gwilda. Hey, by the way, have you signed up yet to watch our television show, Beyond Belief? It is free for 10 days. You'll like it. Here's the caveat of the whole thing. Thousands of self-help videos available for you simply by signing up. I mean, just great little video. So just go to This website, GaiamTV.com/George, GaiamTV.com/George, or go to our website, click hosts at the top page, the TV icon opens up. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Yeah. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Gwilda, were you finished up with the other caller as we were talking about her health issues and things like that?
I think close enough.
All right, very good. You know, through all this, do you think that humanity is going to pull out and win the battle against evil or not?
I think that, what was it Christ said? Evil is, he says, the poor have always been among us. Well, I say evil has always been among us. But I think that we're moving into a time where it is going to really have to take the back seat rather than be prevalent like it has been through the last ages, because it's just not being supported.
No, not at all. All right, back to the phones we go. Shirley in Monticello, Iowa. Hi, Shirley. Go ahead.
Hi, George. This is an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
But more of an honor to speak to your interviewer there.
Sure thing. All right. That's fine.
And I have to ask her a question because I have an Indian lineage on my dad's side, and it's out of South Dakota. And in that lineage, I was told that I have a great aunt who was in full dress, and I saw her picture. But more than this has ever happened, I have things that come to me. I don't understand why I can do these things. I can tell what's going to happen before it happens. And it happened in a situation here in our town. About 3 months ago, we had a fire and two buildings away from us. And all of a sudden at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awoken by a loud noise on the door, pounding on the door, and the police officers, fire, get out, fire, get out. I said, where? I went out the door and I saw the building on fire and I said, Angela is in there. Ashley Hoosman's in there. One of the girls is in there. And I said, I think it's Ashley. And he said, okay, I'll check. He said, he thought the building was vacant.
Yeah.
Because the upstairs people had left to go to Florida, and they thought the downstairs was vacant. Well, they had checked, and if it was 30 seconds later, she had been dead because that ceiling would have caved in upon her and burned her to death. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I went to the Red Cross after that because we had some, being two buildings away, we had some smoke inhalation. And I went down, and when the mother came back, and she was down there to see her daughter, I said, you're lucky to have your daughter alive. And she said to me, don't scare me. I have a baby in me. How was I supposed to know that? It made me feel real badly, but her daughter did explain to me that I had been helping her with clothes and everything. And I don't know why I get all these clothes. God gives me clothes, and then I got to give them to somebody, or God gives me things from people, and then they're not for me. They're for somebody else. Explain that to me.
Okay, well, what you've done is you're probably a pretty tender-hearted person, and you like to be of service. And so you set your intent to do just that. And so what happens is our intent actually works through the toroidal field of our will center and has an effect on the world around us. And so things that are about to happen, if we want to know in order to protect people, that information will come to us. But also, if we want to be able to provide for others, people that are wanting to give things to others are drawn to us to give them to us because it's just the way nature flows. So a real simple way of looking at it is I go out and I sit underneath my tree. Now, I exhale carbon dioxide, and it exhales oxygen. We've got this wonderful thing going. But I didn't cut the bargain with the tree. That's just the way life works. And as we step more into the flow of life, we're available for the things that we intend, even though we don't know where they're going to come from. And it sounds like you're doing a pretty good job of operating that in your world.
Sure am. Shirley, thanks, and good luck to you. We've got next Tyler in Daytona Beach, Florida, first-time caller. Hi, Tyler. Welcome to the program.
Hi. It's an honor to speak with you.
Sure thing.
I have a question. During my freshman year in high school, me and a friend, I don't know if this happened to anybody else, but it's just for some odd reason that just out of fate or if it's coincidence, We would look at the clock, and it's always 9/11, and then sometimes if it has the second hand, it'd be 9/11/01 exactly when we look at it. Do you know what that is? Is that a, I don't know, what is that?
Well, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. There's, you know, a lot of numerology. You can really draw a lot from numerology because numbers are really just they're mapping of frequency or mapping of proximity, relativity. And so there's a whole study in numerology, and it can be pretty doggone accurate. So you might want to look into that because it's really fun when we start seeing these numbers that stand out to us. And how long was that before 9/11, by the way?
I want to say maybe 5 years, and then it just it keeps on happening. And every time I call him, he's like, don't look at the clock or whatever, and it'll be 9/11 or whenever. It's just really, really weird. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, the things around us actually do create omenology, if you will, and patterns reoccur because patterns are just frequency. And so I would, if I were you, curious about it, I'd look into the numerology of it.
Wilda, do you see the future?
Sometimes, yes, I do.
Anything on the horizon for us?
Yeah, you see, I don't see the future as a predestined thing, but rather tendencies depending on what walk we take. And this is a very volatile time. We have the opportunity to make amazing advancements in humanity. We also have the opportunity to destroy ourselves. I personally am an optimist, so I like to see us moving towards a really bright future where we take care of each other.
Let's go to James in Los Angeles. Hi, James. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for your guest. You mentioned metaforms. Number one, could you tell us where we might obtain that, and how do you spell it?
Oh, let me see. I had to pull that out of my head because I just met them the other weekend. I don't know how to spell
one thing
it.
One thing you can do is Google cold, C-O-L-D, cold coin, comma, Edgar Cayce, and you'll get some places will pop up on that too.
And we're just about to get the spelling on metaforms. Here we go.
You got it?
Metaforms. And the gentleman's name is Greg Hoag. Greg, H-O-A-G. I believe they're located in Colorado.
Okay, James.
All right, thank you.
There you go. And it's, you know what? And they're not very expensive.
Not relatively.
I actually carry one of those little things around with me.
They're amazing, aren't they? There's also a thing called a Q-Link. Have you heard of those? They do
no.
something
what,
similar.
What is that?
How it works, though, is it works against the electromagnetic pollution. And remember how I said if you take a sound wave in a sound chamber and you sound the exact sound wave at the same volume, it increases the volume? Well, what else happens is if you take a sound wave in a sound chamber and sound its exact opposite waveform at the same volume, you get total silence. And that's the science that the Q-Links work on, is they cancel out or they send out the exact opposite wave to the waves that are harmful to the human body. So they're designed if you spend a lot of time in front of a computer screen or you're under high power lines and that sort of thing.
Okay, we have Chris now in Florence, South Carolina. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Chris. Good.
Quality?
Gwilda.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just curious. When you talk about EM, electromagnetic fields, what's the predominant person that came up with those equations?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
One more time. We didn't hear you, Chris.
What is the predominant person that came up with those equations?
Who came up with these equations?
Okay, well, we've got lots of different equations. Are you talking about the one with the sand, the experiment with the sand?
No, ma'am. I'm talking about the old school person that came up with electromagnetic equations.
Okay, well, there was one. His name was Nikola Tesla, and he was a Siberian-American inventor and electrical mechanical engineer and a physicist. And he invented the fluorescent light bulb, and he's a large contributor to the design of modern alternating current systems. He was between 1856 and 1943, and I love this quote from him. He says, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And he came up with a lot of different formulas and stuff that are very profound.
Okay, yeah, Tesla was a genius, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Debbie is in Bakersfield, California now. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Gwilda. I got very excited. I'm enjoying the program tonight through George, by the way.
Thank you.
I got very excited when I heard you speak about earthquakes, and I had the craziest thing happen to me for about the last 4 years. I can feel earthquakes anywhere in the world. I can feel them vibrate through my body, and I'm not saying that I'm special, I'm not crazy or anything like that. It's just, I can feel them. We had that large earthquake that happened in Russia about a month ago off that island there in Russia. I could literally feel the earth underneath me for about a month, and I knew a big earthquake was coming. I don't know where they're going to happen at. I just feel them building, and then I can feel them every day when they happen, wherever they're at in the world. And I was wondering if you could help me to understand why this is happening to me.
Sure, Debbie. What's going on there is you're very earth-based and you're very grounded, and you're tapping into the plate movement of the surface of the planet. And so you're feeling in your body sympathetically what's going on with the plate movement in the planet, and that's why you feel an earthquake building. That's why you feel when one's happened.
Thank you.
It's a gift.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, Debbie. Thank you. A couple more calls here, and as the clock ticks away. Gwilda, what do you do next? What are your future projects?
Well, Swan Raven, Granite Publishing, Swan Raven label, actually contracted me for two books because my book proposal was quite extensive, and she wanted the information out there sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just about to start writing the follow-up to So We're Still Here, Now What? And the name of it is going to be These and Greater Things.
All right. Kevin is in Rochester, New York, east of the Rockies. Kev, go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning,
great program, great show, George.
Thank you, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, I had a question. She seemed to tie up everything I've been thinking about as far as frequency. Has she ever done any work with Roslyn Chapel? And my question is basically, I just think frequency is the key to, going back as far as building the pyramids, maybe Attic Coral Castle, being more in touch with frequency, I just seems to be the key. Has she looked at frequency outside the inner self, but more globally as far as moving things? And
let's ask her, have you looked at other frequencies, Gwilda, beyond the human body?
Yes, I think what Kevin is talking about is being able to lift things, rocks and this and that, by using frequency. And I really believe that these were what the master shaman did to build the pyramid. The pyramids are built so accurately that there's no way that there was supposed to be the technology on the planet at the time to be able to do them. And I think it was done through frequency mastery.
And what is that?
Well, like I said, the really proficient shaman of ancient times were frequency masters. And basically what they do is they use a combination of two different kinds of waves. One is mechanical waves and one is electromagnetic waves. And mechanical waves have to have a medium to propagate, but that's also the medium through which shamanic practitioners affect physical things. Electromagnetic waves can go through the vacuum of space, and that's the frequency or the waves that the shamanic, the ancient shaman used to project their consciousness through time and space. So that's where we get remote viewing and that sort of thing. But the one where we're using the other waves where it affects matter, I believe at the level of mastery, and we had less resistance during a time of high frequency, that's how we did all these wonders that we haven't really been able to explain.
Let's go to Anna in El Paso, Texas. Hello, Anna. Good morning.
Good morning, George. I love your program. I love your host. And it's amazing this morning because I woke up with a dream. And and oddly enough, I run to the radio to want to listen to your program, right? So, and this lovely lady answered all the questions that I needed, but I wanted to ask her if that's okay.
Sure.
about shifting. We're talking about the world and love and joy. And love can only equal to love, and joy can only equal to joy. No more, no less. And so what is it that she does? I mean, I remember that I still do. I shift. I call it shifting. It's just sending out these vibrations that are of love and of joy, and that's it. What does she do, or what do you do, may I ask? Do you do something similar with the vibrations to help our world to become a better one? I understand the energies, and I understand that there's negative energies out there, but how can we surpass that? How can we shield ourselves?
That's a really excellent question, Anna. How I work, and of course it's a shamanic way because that's what I do, but there's frequencies that come from the masculine or father sky, and there's frequencies that come from the feminine or the negative frequencies, and I don't mean bad, I just mean, you know, from Earth but beyond, the feminine frequencies. When those two frequencies blend in the neutrality of the heart, it generates a lot of power. And I blend those two frequencies, the masculine and the feminine, in my heart, and then present that into my world through whatever I do. And that's my service to the world, because like you say, love can only be love. But balanced love that's neutral rather than conditional love is the key, and that's how I work it.
Well, you have to. We have time maybe for one more or so, maybe not. Let's get your website out one more time. Would you spell it for everybody, Gwilda?
You bet. I'll be glad to, George. It's GwildaWiyuka.com. So that's GwildaWiyuka.com.
All right. Grab a final call here. Susan in Phoenix. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
In answer to your question about, I think people are waking up, because I'm going through a lot of events to get petitions signed against the Medicaid here, and people are outraged, and I'm just seeing, I mean, I've been working for 5 years to get people awake, and people are awakening, and it's good, and what she says is true, the frequencies and everything, people are going to be acting, and I think it's a good thing.
All right. I think you're absolutely right. Gwilda, out of time, 30 seconds. Why don't you give us quick perspective?
I can. I think shamanic healing practices have been used over the ages to realign a person, place, and thing with the frequency of natural law as it expresses at any given space and time. Through that modern-day application of this ancient practice, the average human can align with the earth and evolve with her. And as we become more expansive through this evolutionary frequency, we can increase our mobility, regain our birthright as co-creators of our reality, and redirecting us no longer subject to the current exploitive system. I think there's freedom on our horizon. We just have to take the action to receive it. And, George, you've been a blast.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. And we shall be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines next.